Welcome to the New York Podcasting Cafe with your host, Carmen Amoros.
Hi, this is Carmen Amoros. Welcome. Today I'm going to be interviewing a wonderful lady, but to me this is really not an interview. I did not interrupt her because I felt that this was kind of a short course, a lecture, describing the history of a genre called vaudeville, a style of entertainment called vaudeville. And Carol Bradshaw is an expert on this form of entertainment. When I was a young girl, I had no clue that I was actually being entertained on television by some amazing former vaudevillians who had made it, you know, out of the great stages and doing vaudeville performances to television. These people perfected their crafts. They did so well. They were the best of the best. And now I was enjoying them on TV. And some of them included Judy Garland, Fred Astaire, and Milton Berle. So many amazing performers that if I were to list out all of their names, you would recognize. Anyway, please stay on this journey with me. It's a 45-minute interview, but I ask you to please keep a pad and pencil and take down some names. And if you don't know some of the names of the performers that Carol discusses during this interview, jot them down, do some research. And while you're at it, make plans to get away this weekend, October 11th, to drive up to Schenectady, New York, to the Proctor's Theater, to take in Carol's show, which is, it's going to be an amazing show, a marvelous show. Carol Bradshaw's production of Brevities brings you a matinee of vaudeville's vignettes, Sunday, October 11th at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, and it's a nostalgic tribute to the masters of those glimmering days of yesteryear. The afternoon will be featuring special guests who will perform live sketches, routines, and songs. The performance will also feature original filmed interviews and compilations with the era's luminaries telling their stories of American entertainment past. It's a wonderful show. It is free. And of course, even though it is free, your donations for the performance would benefit the Proctor's History Committee. So take a trip up there and join us all, join Carol, join the cast, a wonderful cast of luminaries that Carol is also going to be talking about in this interview. So please, take a good listen and get out there this weekend. Treat yourself. Be good to yourself. Grab your camera, fill the car up with gas, pack a lunch and maybe some little things for the weekend, and take a drive up north and take photos along the way and enjoy the change of the season, the fall colors. And while you're at it, maybe spend the weekend and go on that journey with Carol Bradshaw and her list of luminaries. You're going to enjoy the singing, the comedy, and this amazingly beautiful pipe organ that is in this amazingly beautiful, newly restored theater called the Proctor's Theater. You're going to enjoy yourself. You're going to have fun. Be good to yourself. Get out there and join us. Be transported back in time, and you're going to be very glad that you did it. And now I'm going to introduce to you a song by two very famous vaudevillians, people who made it out of the great stages and onto television and motion pictures. This number was performed by Judy Garland and Fred Astaire in the movie Easter Parade. It happens to be the scene where they're both doing a dance number, and they're both dressed as clowns. I hope you enjoy this, and I hope it's a good lead-in for you into the interview with Carol Bradshaw. Enjoy it.
In shorts. The Vanderbilts have asked us up for tea.
We don't know how to get there, no siree.
No siree. We would drive up the avenue, but we haven't got the price. We would skate up the avenue, but there isn't any ice. We would ride on a bicycle, but we haven't got a bike. So we'll walk up the avenue, yes, we'll walk up the avenue, and to walk up the avenue's what we like.
Welcome to the Fall 2015 New York Podcasting Cafe's podcasting program on Block Talk Radio. Today we're going to interview Carol Bradshaw, an amazing woman whose talents developed as a result of a lifelong passion and interest in vintage forms of entertainment, memorabilia, and various media, resulting in an expertise which include producing, writing, and directing film documentaries and stage tributes on American popular entertainment. Carol's work through her own independent production company, The Laugh Makers, has evoked enthusiasm in the United States and abroad. The Laugh Makers is a company which specializes in multimedia productions that disseminate our cultural past in the early traditions of music and comedy and pays tribute to those who have made outstanding contributions in their particular phases of show business, which range from burlesque, minstrel, vaudeville, early Broadway, USO, silent films, and radio to television. Her 40 years of research, as well as amassing an astonishing collection of ephemera books and other media, have given Carol a very specialized knowledge and entree into getting to know and working with the legendary performers of these specialized areas of show business, who passed on their stories of the skills and contributions of the performers that inspired them in the arts and the humanities. Carol Bradshaw's hope is that future generations will be inspired by the legacies of those that lived and remembered three centuries of American humor and song. Please join me in welcoming to the New York Podcasting Cafe, Carol Bradshaw. Carol, thank you for joining me on New York Podcasting Cafe. How are you?
I'm doing very well. It's been a busy time, but a very productive one and a very exciting, gratifying time working on this incredible project. Wonderful cast, stellar cast, and a remarkable theater, a theater of vintage fame as well as grandeur. And they just renovated Proctor's recently, this past month. So it is at its glorious splendor of 1926 when it opened.
I saw your advertising and your promos, just beautiful. Can you define what vaudeville style theater is?
Well, vaudeville was a variety, an act. It was basically 7 to 9 acts per show. And mm-hmm. they had various people that, like, the dumb act was at the top of the show. And that mm-hmm. the dumb act was basically non-speaking acts, such as like pets, you know, like crazy pets, tricks, and animal acts, as well as acrobatic acts and so on. And what it is these people, they didn't just do one show a day. They started at 10:30 in the morning, and it went on until 2 in the morning. So if you were a child, such as Rosemarie or Buster Keaton, and you were in vaudeville, and you were playing, now, earlier, they did like the second-rate kind of productions. Then they got into the big time. They only did 2 shows a day. But most people did 7 to 9 shows a day from 10:30 in the morning till 2 a.m. because it was around the clock. That's what vaudeville was. And they had dummy acts first, and then they had a sibling act was the second act. So they'd have brothers like the Nicholas Brothers, or they had the Dolly Sisters, you know what I mean? They're for the second act. The third was usually a comic, and the fourth one was usually a balladeer, a singer, and then like the fifth one might be a ventriloquist, and the sixth one was probably the second to last act, and that was the headliner. And sometimes if there was more acts, they had the class act, which was in the middle of the show. And they had a formula. Vaudeville was a formula. And these people were masters. They only survived on 1 or 2 acts for their entire lives in show business. They perfected and honed every skill they had. And there were gimmicks such as sneezing, like Joey Faye, the great burlesque legend, who was in vaudeville as well. He started in vaudeville. And he sneezed, and he sneezed legitimately. You could not tell it was a fake sneeze. And he could talk while he was sneezing. And they used their bodies and their instruments, and they used musical instruments, and they used brooms and made music. I mean, they just Marlene Dietrich, for instance, was in vaudeville. A lot of people don't know that. And she would play a saw. So there were so many. Gloria Swanson was in vaudeville. Trixie Fraganza, Marie Dressler. You name all these great people that we've seen in the old movies and on Johnny Carson in later years, they were all in vaudeville. They all started. Dean Martin's uncle, Leonard Barr, was one of the great eccentric, grotesque dancers. Al Norman, another grotesque dancer. And people go, whoa, grotesque, what does that mean? Grotesque meant exaggeration. They used their bodies, they used their dance steps. I mean, it is just remarkable, and I'm putting on films of the greatest of these people, and then I'm going to have live stars in my show who are, oh my God, when I think of the stellar lineup, I'm absolutely amazed how I was able to pull this off, because this is a benefit and it's free to the public. Two are coming from LA, and mm-hmm. that is Paul Kreppel and Murphy Cross, and they are Tony Award winners, and they did the ventriloquist Jay Johnson, the yeah. two and only. They did a remarkable job on Broadway, and they all won the Tony Awards for this remarkable show about a ventriloquist and his mannequins. And then I have Michael Townsend Wright, who is one of the best character players. A lot of people don't know he's not a household name, but he has played Walter Winchell, Irving Berlin, Eddie Foy, all of these old-time people, you know, these vintage mm-hmm. characters from the... Yeah. So he's done such magnificent work on stages around New Jersey and New York, mainly in New York, with Chip DeFaw in the 14th Street Playhouse. He's remarkable. Wow. The two of them collaborate on a lot of various shows about vaudeville and young, early part of the 20th century. And then we have George Marcy. He was Bernardo in West Side Story with Carol Lawrence and Cheetah Rivera way back in, I think it was like 1957. He's my venerable player. He is doing a remarkable job. He's going to be a song and dance man, and he's 88, so I don't want to make him older. But he's going to be marvelous. You don't want to miss him. He has worked with Martha Raye. He was the top dancer for her show, the Martha Raye show, and the Milton Berle Texaco show. Mm-hmm. And so he's going to be on a few times, and I think people are going to really be delighted by him. He's a real clownish, wonderful man. And then I have, of course, the headliner, Carol Woods. She's absolutely breathtaking, a diva in the highest order. She has performed in front of royalty at the Royal Theater in England, and she was Mama Morton in Chicago, you know, the show Chicago, for 18 years.
I remember that.
You remember that, yeah.
Yes,
and, yeah, she's remarkable.
That.
And she's also been in Grind with Ben Vereen, and she was in One More Time, and she's sang and got a standing ovation at the Grammy Awards. Then there's Warren Schein and Dana Lorge. These two are like a comedy team, you know, and they patter back and forth, and they're going to do some singing and dancing and, you know, moving around and a lot of, you know, jokes and things like that. So basically, that's the cast. I think I've named all the cast. There's Richard Danley, who I think is the premier accompanist. I can't think of anyone better to be doing this show. He's absolutely remarkable. He's done work like this for many years, and he's also a singer as well, but he's a class act all to himself. And so he's going to be the accompaniment for all of us. And I have Carl Hackert, who is the Wurlitzer guy. Have you ever heard of the Wurlitzer organ?
Yes, I have. German organ.
Yeah. And this is an original, almost 100 years old organ, but is in stellar condition because they just fix it every year, and it plays like nothing. I mean, you just wouldn't believe it, and he's remarkable. He's been doing this for years and years and years. He's like the top guy in, you know, upstate. And so the Mighty Wurlitzer is going to be a big show in itself. He's going to be doing the pre-show intermission and then exit. And he's going to be doing probably some bells and whistles during the show because it's a vaudeville show after all, so... So that's it, basically, with the cast.
How did vaudeville influence the world, the movie industry, where things are today?
Oh, wow. Well, we stand, I mean, anybody that's a great performer stands on the shoulders of these people in vaudeville, and even the filmmakers, and even the musicians, everything. These people that were in vaudeville were just masters at their craft. They invented so many, like deep focus composition in film, you know, photography. They invented magic on stage. They made filmmakers actually do what they did, you know, I mean, as far as reaching for the special effects because of what these people did on stage. Also, vaudeville helped integrate us as a nation.
How so?
It started in the late 19th century during the Industrial Revolution. There was medicine shows, but that's been around for a long time. Those were like gypsies that, you know, performed and went from town to town. And then there were circuses, of course. And then carnivals came, you know. And then what happened was we had burlesque. And burlesque is pretty much an offshoot of burlesque, even though it's different. It's very different, but still had parodies and such like that. But burlesque got a little ribald. And burlesque had different types of acts and different types of performances, of course. But what happened is the minstrels came. And the minstrels were like Lou Dockstader and many other minstrel men came in and changed the world by blackface. Now, people think blackface was a degrade the African-Americans. That's not true. It's exactly opposite. It's the antithesis. What happened was blacks and whites weren't allowed to mix, and neither were, you know, other people of color were allowed to mix with white people in public places and in theaters and cafes and such. So what they did, because they wanted to learn each other's art form and they wanted to, you know, assimilate musical composition through harmonies and beats and rhythms, they decided to black up everybody. Now you can't tell who's who, right?
No, you really
And that's
can.
How it worked. That's how people got together on stage. And so, as a result, after they took their mask off, people still loved those characters.
Right,
so there were there was a blending. There was a blending of cultures. And then because there was a blending of cultures, on stage, there was a blending of audiences.
So what you're saying is that actually covering their faces helped people come together behind the scenes, the black entertainers with white entertainers and so on.
Oh, yeah. It would never have happened otherwise, would it? If we were accustomed to being segregated as a nation at the time, of course we were. That happens to this day. I mean, look, people want to segregate people. The only way, artists don't do that. Artists don't think like that. And, I mean, the real artists, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And they loved what was brought to them by various cultures. And during the Industrial Revolutions, we had Chinese people here. We had, you know, like the black experience. We had Mexicans. We, you know, we had Spanish. We had French. Everybody came and brought their traditions in entertainment with them.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that it was just,
is,
you know,
what vaudeville was. And what they did is they had the formula. The Yiddish people, the Yiddish theater people came, the Jews, and they were called the Dutch comics. They were called the Dutch comics, like Weber and Fields. They were Jewish men who were fantastic comedic presence. And they made remarkable strides in comedy. And they were called the Dutch comics. And then there were the Irish knockabouts, like the Keatons, the three Keatons. Buster Keaton was a little boy. He was 4 years old, and he was literally supporting his parents in vaudeville. He was supporting his whole family because of his genius. I mean, his real prodigious way of being able to make he was an impressionist. He was an impersonator, and he was also an acrobatic. His father used to kick him right out into the orchestra pit. I mean, that was Irish.
Is that right?
They had violent theater. The Irish were very famous for being extremely brutal and on stage. And they were wild, and people loved it. People loved watching all that stuff back then. And I don't know if they would do it now. I think they'd probably have him under arrest. But they arrested him. They could never catch him because Buster never had any bruises. So somehow Buster knew how to fall. He knew how to do what he did without getting hurt or, you know, I mean, once in a while I think he had an accident and, you know, he had some scars. But for the most part, he survived and thrived and was one of the biggest acts in vaudeville. And then, you know, there were people like George Burns and Gracie Allen and Block and Sully and, Wheeler and Woolsey. Oh, you can go on. And you see them on film. You can see them on YouTube. It's remarkable. Then you had UB Blake, you had Paul Whiteman, who was one of the great, great band leaders. And, you know, so I'm exposing that.
You're exposing the truth and everything that was good about it coming into existence.
Yeah, it changed the world. It changed our society. We became more mobile as a result of people started opening up their worlds more.
Right.
And, you know, there were various circuits. There was the Proctor Circuit. There was the Orpheum Circuit. The Poli Circuit. The Pantages Circuit, and these people went from across the country, and there were little theaters in little towns across the country. And this is what people had to be entertained until, of course, you know, radio and movies.
Yes.
And then it started, you know, bungling and going down. And till then we had TV, and then nobody went to theater at all. You know? So that's, but you see the same people. I mean, you saw people that survived it all, you know, the real survivors. Mm-hmm. Of the various changes in our culture, and you see the, and you saw them on early television.
Right.
And we're very lucky that we have television, because it did record these people. Thank God. A lot of them went to the wayside, but many of them, you know, we got to see, and I'm very grateful to them. I mean, it sustained my childhood seeing these mm-hmm. people. They were gentle souls. They were, mm-hmm. you know, they had a rough life. But they gave. Now, you know, it's a different world we're living in now.
True, very true.
They didn't have pensions. They didn't have royalties. They didn't have money, and yet they gave. They gave everything they could. And
it kind of reminds me of even Charlie Chaplin. You know, when I read about Charlie Chaplin's life, and he led a very difficult childhood. You know, poverty, a mom who was stricken with dementia. It was a horrible childhood. And,
oh, it was.
You know,
awful.
He later decided to take some of what he experienced as a child, from a needy family, and put it into his work. And he was just amazing. I don't know how he had that will of the mind to take
well,
the suffering that he went through.
I mean, when I think of what Buster went through, and what Joey Faye, they went through hell. I mean, they really mm-hmm. did. And Joey Faye, who most people don't even, he's not a household name, but he's a man who invented one of the greatest sketches of all time. It was Slowly I Turn, and Susquehanna mm-hmm. Hat Company that Abbott and Costello used, that was Joey's act, mm-hmm. you know. Those were his acts until, you know, Universal took over and took them mm-hmm. and used them, and then Joey had to find a new way to support himself. But he was very, very, he was one of the lucky ones. He assimilated. He went into Broadway and became a big Broadway guy mm-hmm. and also a character player in movies. But, you know, so he always, and then, of course, he did the Fruit of the Loom underwear. He was the Greek great. He mm-hmm. survived. He was one of the few that survived all those transitions. But there were other ones that went to the wayside, and it's too bad because they were masters at their particular thing, and we will never see anything like that again, whether it's a dance move, you know, dancing. I mean, when I say dancing, I'm talking about eccentric. I'm talking about mm-hmm. something that is inimitable. These people mm-hmm. in vaudeville were inimitable. Rose Marie, I don't know, if, you know, Sally Rogers on Dick Van Dyke, she sang mm-hmm. and belted out songs when she was 3 years old like she was, she was called the Sophie Tucker, you know. She was amazing.
Wow.
Absolutely amazing.
And she was so quiet. She played such a straight character on the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Well, she was kind of like, well, I don't
know.
It
was a little bit nutty, a little bit quirky, but it, you
know.
Oh,
no, she was the comedian with Maury Amsterdam in the off. She wasn't, Mary Tyler Moore was the straight woman on that show. Played okay. Sally Rogers. She was the comedian who was like, you know, always singing and being kind of snappy and wisecracky, mm-hmm. you know, with Maury Amsterdam, who was in Burlesque. So, you know, he was the little guy, the short guy in Burlesque. But, I mean, so many people came out of Burlesque and Vaudeville, and Burlesque had, they were geniuses. They were every bit as good. I really do think that Burlesque had some of the greatest people. But most mm-hmm. of them were not able to blend. You know, they couldn't mm-hmm. go because they were maybe ribald or blue. Where Joey mm-hmm. was a clean comic, what you call a clean. He was, you know, he wasn't a blue comic. He wasn't, you know, mm-hmm. you know, dirty words or, you know. And so he was able to mix. And then he went on to Broadway, and he did very well on Broadway. He had a great 30 mm-hmm. hit shows. And then he was also a pioneer in television. Joey Faye was the first man on television, real television, wow. where it was broadcast. 1939 at the World's Fair. He and Ethel Waters, the great, and she was one of the great singers. She was a blues singer. Ethel Waters was in member of a wedding. She was in the Member of a Wedding with mm-hmm. Julie Harris and Brenda DeWild. Mm-hmm. She was a star back in the 20s. She sang a lot of great blues and jazz. And Alberta Hunter, she was another great jazz singer that came out mm-hmm. of vaudeville. so many, many people now that sing really owe everything to those women. They really do. They influenced, inspired so many of the great ones now. And that's why this needs to be revealed. I think truth needs to come out about certain things. I feel that we have to pay some homage to vaudevillians and to even to burlesque too. But that's why I decided I did a show at Minsky's Republic, Old Republic on 42nd Street. And that was a tribute to Joey Faye, and I had a great cast there too. I had Henny Youngman, Milton Berle, Al Lewis, you know, Grandpa Lewis.
Oh, wow. Grandpa.
Yeah. And then Seth Ray, Rose Marie, Tony Randall was my host. And they all talked about old New York. It was just a wonderful, I mean, it was just so much fun. And I had Eric Comstock sang all of Joey's music and songs from his Broadway shows. And I had the stripper, Sherry Britton, came out. She hadn't been on that stage since 1932, she said.
Mm.
And people couldn't believe she was gorgeous. They didn't even believe she was 50, you know. It was just such a great show. I mean, there were so many more. There was Sandra Lee and Harry Gauze, who was Tevye and Fiddler on the Roof. But they all started in vaudeville, burlesque, you know. And people don't know that because people thought that vaudeville was a little classier, but people thought it was only the legitimate stage that made people great, and that wasn't true. In fact, I say it was vaudeville. Of all phases of show business, those were the real talented people. They really were, truly.
Wow.
And and Ethel Barrymore was in vaudeville. All the Barrymores were in vaudeville. That's what people don't know. And they did Shakespeare, because they did Shakespeare in vaudeville. Paul Whiteman, it's his 125th year birthday anniversary. Buster is 120 years old yesterday, October 4th. And so I'm putting them up. I'm putting some other very big people up that, you know, you haven't seen in a while. It's going to be a surprise because I don't want to give everything away.
Okay.
But it's at Proctor's, and it's on State Street. You can't miss it in Schenectady. And it's a couple hours drive or, you know, on a train coming up from the city, if you're, you know, in New York City. But it's a beautiful ride. We're having autumn leaves, and it's probably going to be beautiful weather. And people ought to just come up and enjoy and listen to a Wurlitzer. You don't get to hear a Wurlitzer very often.
No.
And the guy that's playing it, Carl Hackard, what a guy. What a character. He really knows his stuff. He's and Richard Danley, like I said, I'm just mesmerized by his ability to put everybody over. Dana and Warren, funny as, oh, my God, they're so funny. Warren is doing medleys on people. He kind of has a Mel Torme kind of, kind of not bebop, but
the scatting.
Kind of the scatting. Mm. Yeah,
yeah.
And
does he have that velvet voice?
You will never hear a voice like Carol. That is a once in a lifetime. I'm serious.
Really?
Murphy's a dancer. She's choreographed for John Travolta, Mary Tyler Moore, Dick Van Dyke, Rip Taylor. She was on the Gary Shandling show. She was in Chorus Line, choreographed Bubbling Brown Sugar, and oh God, Pal Joey. She's done amazing stuff. And Paul Krappel, he was on It's a Living way back, I guess, God, when was that, like 1980s, with Marion Mercer and Ann Gillian. It was one of his own shows that he did, as well as worked with Jane Curtin from Saturday Night Live. And the two of them, Murphy and he, are partners, and they have Wet Rock Entertainment. And they produce shows. A lot of my cast are actually producers. They're producers. They're not just actors. Mm. And George Marcy, oh, my God. You got it. You're seeing a legend. You're seeing a vaudevillian. He's the last. I mean,
that's going to be great.
I mean, he's the last person from vaudeville. He was in actual, authentic vaudeville shows. Isn't that amazing?
He was in
vaudeville, and it was late vaudeville. It wasn't
the
good time, you know, from like the 30s, but it was still vaudeville. It was actual vaudeville at the Palace Theater, okay? And he's the last one that's on the boards. So it'd be kind of remiss of people not coming to my show.
It's at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, October the 11th. Carol, can you share a little bit about yourself? I mean, you have this amazingly rich take on the history of vaudeville that you've shared with us. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got your start in this business?
Oh, I've been singing and being a ham. I was a performer. I went to the School of the Arts in North Carolina. I did American Academy of Dramatic Arts. I took lessons around, you know, around the country and stuff. But I've always sung. I've always been performing. My mother, she was a professor of dance. And she played the piano like amazing. She played by ear. She could play anything. And there were four of us, just like the Lennon sisters. But we, you know, we harmonized and we sang at events in our town and at political rally type stuff and at the country clubs and just women's clubs. And then I started my one women's show. I think how old was I? Probably around 13.
I was
just a character. I was nutty. People thought, oh my God, what is she? You know, I was always talking about vaudeville and I was always talking about Stan Laurel.
You were a feisty little 13-year-old.
Oh yeah. No, I just was always in love with theater and the arts. And then, you know, I got into Hollywood and I worked in the movie industry a bit and been in TV. You know, I've done it all. I mean, I've worked in nightclubs and regional theater as well as summer stock. So that's basically it. I'm kind of a vaudevillian. I think of myself as, I'm really not, but I think of myself as vaudevillian.
Yeah.
You know, I think of myself as I was performing for many years, and I did choral work, and now I like the behind the scenes, producing, directing, writing. I do filmmaking.
So that's what you're doing now.
I do filmmaking, but I'm not a great film. But I do make good. I should say I make pretty good films. I do. I even had a film put up at the Film Museum in Munich, Germany, and in Berlin, on Marlene Dietrich about her time in the USO, and who I met and who worked with her was Joey Fay. And Joey Fay and I were like, I've got great experiences with the Friars Club with him and Henny Youngman and the Players. I did a show at the Players with a couple people in the cast of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And I used them as in a burlesque show. It was a scream. It was just hysterical. And I put up films on Joey Fay and Rags Raglan and Phil Silvers and all those great people. And, I've done a lot of work. Alan Jones, I did a night. This was at Snug Harbor. And it was an evening with of Jerome Kern with Alan Jones, who is Jack Jones' father. And he was Gaylord Ravenaugh in Showboat from the early days. I worked with, you know, the older. And then, of course, Milton Berle. I did a work with.
Oh, yes.
I worked Milton with Berle at the Friars Club. I did a film about, it was called Friends of the Friars Club. And it's just. They talk about, you know, burlesque. They talk about Joey Fay and just about the people and on Broadway. And then I've interviewed the Nicholas Brothers, Al Lewis, Margaret Whiting. So that's my stock and trade. That's my trademark. I work with, you know, the older people that have worked in more vintage because I'm a historian, really. I love the history.
And how would you like this doing now, this revival, bringing it back to the forefront?
I would to see a little bit, call me anachronistic, call me old-fashioned, call me, you know, unhip. I don't really care. I think people want to be entertained, and I think they want to go out smiling and humming. And I don't think they need to be riled up with a lot of, you know, abusive language and hurt. You know, I mean, there's such hurt in the world. We really need to heal ourselves. And vaudeville is a healing art, and it's a together art. People get together, and they like each other, and they laugh at each other. They laugh, and that's okay to laugh at each other. It's okay to laugh at ourselves, because that, if once we stop laughing at ourselves, we better just call it a day, because life is hard for people, and you have to be able and smile at your foibles, no matter what it is.
So laughter was really at the root of what defined vaudeville.
Absolutely.
You know, style theater.
Laughter, yeah. I mean, sure, there were acts of juggling and, you know, I mean, so what? You see that in circus. But the real heart of vaudeville was the music and the soul that they gave to the audience. And they loved it when audience laughed at them. Buster and Jack Benny and George Burns loved being laughed at. But now comics laugh at others, and they don't like being laughed at. They're dishing it out now, but they don't, you can dish it out, but you can't take. Where in the old days, the buffoon, like Jackie Gleason, you know, think of the people that were from that era. And Art Carney, oh, my God, what a genius. I mean, he was just, he was awe-inspiring. So that's it. Just, you know, it's I wanted to do this for 50 years. 50. It's a golden anniversary.
This is it.
50 years. 6 years old. Going to go work at Proctor's and put on a show at Proctor's.
And here
when
it
I was
is.
6 years old, and I said, I'm going to do it. And I, at first, I was pretty much retired. I thought, oh, I'm not, I'm done, you know. And I thought, no, there's one thing I haven't done, and I'll probably do say that in another few years. But I just said I have to put on a vaudeville show. I have to do it, and I've got the cast. I'm serious. I got the people with the right ingredients, including the pianist. I mean it. The accompanist is the perfect person for vaudeville. I couldn't think of anyone better.
No,
he's perfect. He knows the music. He knows the heart. And he's making everyone look good. And everybody is good, don't get me wrong. But I'm saying that he enhances and he listens to them and he brings even more to the plate. And the Wurlitzer guy, forget about it. You know, he's going to have his own solo stuff because he's playing, you know, before and after intermission. So he's got some great music. Oh, music we haven't heard in years. And that's the other thing about vaudeville. It was the best time. I always say it was the Medioncelli of the human race. The people.
Was it really?
The Medioncelli, the greatest, the heights, the absolute pinnacle of the human race were in those days. They were the best composers. They were the best writers. They were the best dramaturgs. I mean, they were everybody. I mean, anything they did, the scientists.
The people supported each other, too.
And they supported each other. They weren't. They would help each other. They would give each other. They go, this joke isn't right for me. Here, you take this joke. This song isn't right for me. This is your song. Let that be your trademark. It was a different time.
It still happens, but I think that in those days, I think
they gave each
people
other,
were more sensitive.
They gave each other money, too. When somebody had a baby and they needed formula or, you know, they needed diapers or whatever, they helped people. They helped. They really did. They just...
A different time.
And it was a different time. And I hope that maybe there would be some of that, you know, a little bit renaissance of that. I'm hoping. That's all I can do is hope. I'm glad that I got Proctor's. I mean, that's my selfish need. I wanted such a gorgeous
venue.
Vintage. And with the, you know, think of the people that stepped on that stage. Forget about it, you know.
I'm so excited. The countdown is 6 days on October 11th.
Sunday
at 3 p.m. Right, 3 p.m.
Sunday, we were going to have it all day long, doing it one show. I got one show, and so I'm going to make it jam packed with great stuff.
But I just can't get over the beauty of that theater. And they're located at 432 State Street, number 2, Schenectady, New York 12305.
Yes.
It opened in 1926, yes. And it seats the capacity of 2,646 people.
We have a nice crowd, but we need more. We've got plenty of seats to fill, and even just to come up and see that grand and glorious place. There's got an arcade, there's cafes, a hotel, there's shops. We have a vaudeville exhibits in our windows, you know, the like shop windows, and there's vaudeville exhibits of old, the you know, antiquated from 1926. So you're getting a whole sense.
Almost 100 years, you know, a legacy of 100 years.
Right.
I love history. I love to go back in time. It's especially the 1920s. There was something about that era, the Art Deco,
the fashion,
everything was just
the people were at the greatest. I really do believe that they were the greatest of all. You know, they say the greatest generation was the world. I think the greatest generation was the, you know, people born in the Romantic era and the gay 90s that came, you know, that really started our 20th century. And so I'm hoping that at least we can't go back there, and I know that, but we can at least enjoy a little bit of it and see a slice of it.
Yes.
Show people. But so that's it, really.
I'm so thankful that you're bringing a little piece of you know, such an important part of theater history through this venue.
Well, there's a lot of people I've known for years now that try to bring that back. I mean, there's Bob Greenberg, and there was Michael T. Wright. There's Michael Townsend Wright. There's
Mike Fine, very talented also.
There's people that want to keep that going. Yes. And so I just got lucky and was able to get some cultural, like the Players Club and Actors Fund and Friars Club and who else? Oh, God.
Great group of
Arbor,
people.
Arbor, which is an old vintage place. That's got real history, cultural history. And you know, I was just really lucky to find people like Alan Jones and Joey, my dear, dear Joey Faith. He was my dear, dear friend. And he left me his legacy. He gave me his archive and, you know, his library. Many people have. I had Alberto Soria, who was a very dear friend of mine. He left me, he was an editor for RKO. He left me quite a bit of stuff from early, you know, talkies and such. And, I've been very lucky. Joe Franklin, my dear friend Joe Franklin, who helped me so much. I really credit him for helping me with my Broadway tribute at the New Victory.
He was such a super person. I spoke to him briefly on several occasions, and he's just such a sweet man, such a kind man.
And Miss Alberta Hunter and Miss Marie Blake, who was related to Ubi Blake, and I think she was the niece or cousin of Ubi Blake, and she had the Five Oaks. We used to sing together and jam down there at the Five Oaks. Tear the place apart. And Alberta Hunter, I have to say, was my mentor. She was my jazz mentor. And I was with Barry Harris. Barry Harris is another man who is not from vaudeville, but he was from the Motor Town, Detroit. And he was a bebop. He was one of the great bebop guys with Thelonious Monk. And then Fayard Nicholas, who is a very, very good friend of mine. And probably the one that really, really inspired me was Mrs. Buster Keaton, Eleanor. I knew Eleanor. And so I've had relations people that have passed through my life, like Red Buttons and Milton Berle and Billy Duell, who was one of the cast in he was a Three Penny Opera with Lotta Lenya, and he was a character. What a character, oh my God. So I've been lucky. I admit I've been very fortunate, and it's not something I've done. I sing and stuff, and I have a pretty voice or whatever, but my talent is knowing talent and knowing who can give me a great show.
So
well, they be my angels. I really feel like, you know, when you have a hard life and you have hardships and you have good and bad everywhere, everybody does, and then you have angels. You have angels that come into your life and make it all worthwhile, and I've been very lucky like that. So that's it.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. I have every confidence that this show is going to be gangbuster. We might not have the biggest audience because it's up in Schenectady. I don't know. But downtown, their downtown is stellar. And there's a lot going on that day. So I don't, you know,
I don't know if they'll
come to my theater or they'll want to go to the mayor's, you know. But I know personally that this day had to come for vaudeville. So.
Is there anything you'd like to share with the audience before we wrap up the interview?
Well, I just want to say that one of the things about vaudeville was they cared about their customers. No matter how fighting and, you know, whatever was going on, the customers out there were the most important thing. They weren't the important ones. It was the audience. Their audience is what made them do what they did. And it wasn't about them. And that's where I'll leave any, because I was an acting coach. I was, you know, also had an acting school. But I will leave any professional or wannabe professional that if you really, really want to wow people, you step aside. You leave yourself backstage.
Out of it.
You go out. You stay out of it and give your heart to the audience. And that's why Judy Garland is still praised today and spoken about today. And Rosemarie and Joey Fay and Buddy Epson and all those people, you know, and Fred Astaire, because they cared about what they gave their audience. And Fayard Nicholas, what a dancer. And his brother, of course, Harold, you know, the Nicholas brothers, they were prodigious. And you'll see all that. You'll see what I'm talking about.
Okay. And Carol, you care too, and because of your caring, this is why the beautiful presentation is going to take place at the Proctor's Theater on October 11th at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, right?
Yeah.
And if I have it right, I cannot wait for that one and the second one and the third one and whatever else you do. we'll have you back on the program to introduce a new presentation, won't we?
I hope it'll be easier, you know, to convince people.
I think so. I think people will be there. There are a host of, you know, people that I know that will, especially young people, now they're really into the nostalgia, everything from the music to the fashion to, so there's a new kind of resurgence and there's an interest in the past.
So many very, very talented young people out there. And
yes.
So a talent doesn't mean anything without the discipline and the excellence.
Mm-hmm.
The
right,
excellence
right.
that comes with, and that's what vaudeville taught people.
Right.
So, anyway, thank you so much, Carmen.
Thank you for being on my program. If people need to reach you,
yes.
Where can they find you?
They can find me on Facebook. I can give them my email, EYECMYPETS. That's my, I see my pets at AOL.com.
Okay. Okay, is there a Carol's Production of Brevities page? Will there
be
one
at
some point?
Yeah, you know, they go on that. They can do that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's probably the best place, actually.
Cool,
Because that's public. That's a public page.
On
Carol
Facebook.
Bradshaw's Production of Brevities. You probably know better than
Well, thank you so much for being on my program. I hope to have you back soon.
Oh, thanks. I hope so, too. I really would love to talk about this some more.
I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks. I really appreciate your giving
You're
me
welcome.
A little exposure here. So
yes.
All right. I'll see you. I'll see you soon. I'll probably see you at the Friars or wherever, you know. We can go to Sardi's. That's an old watering hole of the Vaudevillians. Sardi's, so.
We'll see you in all the familiar places.
Yeah,
that's what the
right.
song says.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to an interview with Carol Bradshaw, who is the producer of Carol Bradshaw's production of Brevities, a matinee of vaudeville vignettes, which will take place Sunday, October 11th, 2015, at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. It's a nostalgic tribute to the masters of those glimmering days of yesteryear. The afternoon will feature guests who will perform live sketches, routines, and songs. The performance will also feature original filmed interviews and compilations with the era's luminaries telling their stories of American entertainment's past. It's free and open to the public. However, donations for the performance will benefit the Proctor's History Committee. The running time is 120 minutes. We look forward to seeing you there. Ciao.